on this episode of Still Loading.
Let's go to work.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I'm your host, Josh Koval, and today on the show, we're coming into the home stretch of season two. There's only three episodes left to cover of Captain N the Game Master for season two, and then there's a short season three. We're getting into the final stretch, everybody. And with me today to discuss Captain N season two, episode 11, I Wish I Was a Wombat Man, is returning guest from last month's episode, Jala-chan. Jala, how are you doing?
I am excited. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. I'm really excited to talk about this episode, much more so than the previous one that I had you on for, but we'll get into all that. And of course, my co-host with the mo-host, Dexter Morrill. Dexter, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm great. I'm happy to be the Kid Icarus to your Wombat Man, Josh.
Oh my God, dude, I am so excited for this one because Wombat Man, for listeners who have followed this Captain N series, it's a deep cut from season one, where in season one episode, I'm going to double check, I believe it's either episode four, the Video Olympics one, or it's episode three, the Most Dangerous Game Master. I think it was episode three, the Most Dangerous Game Master, where they're all like the N team are all watching TV and they are going through different parodies of different TV shows. Like Donkey Kong is Indiana Jones and they're watching like this weird parody of Indiana Jones, but Donkey Kong. And then they had this thing of Wombat Man, and I'm so happy they decided to bring back this character because it was such a goofy idea. He wasn't even a character the first time you see him. He just, you know, it's a passing line where they make a joke in episode three of season one, and they decide to flesh him out as a full character. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a stereotypical thing where, you know, you see an actor portraying a superhero on TV and they're not really a hero, and it becomes kind of this, you know, disappointment to the kids who realize that, oh, maybe they weren't really a hero this whole time. They kind of play into that this episode, but I'm just so happy to see that he's back. So as we are wont to do with the Captain N series, we always talk about what's one of the biggest things that stood out to each of us during this episode. So Jala, I'm going to throw it over to you this time. Jala, what was something that really stuck out to you on this episode?
What stuck out to me is the fact that this is supposed to be ostensibly about Marble Madness. And that is a very tenuous link up there.
At best. The funny thing is the last recording session, or maybe it was before we were on mic, you mentioned about that, and I got all my times mixed up and everything, and then I didn't even realize watching this that they intended to reference Marble Madness. It is such a loose connection to I had no idea. I get it now that you say it, but it's really not indicated at all.
And the Marble Madness music, like Dex said, was on the last episode. So what is even going on?
Yeah, I no clue how they ended up doing that. But I'm only realizing now that was it Marsopolis or Marbopolis that this is supposed to take place? But it looks like a giant pinball machine. So it's actually more like pinball than Marble Madness.
But it doesn't even register like that unless you know that it's referencing Marble Madness.
That's true.
And the thing is like the closest thing, the most overt reference is that Mother Brain's back in this episode, by the way. The most overt reference to Marble Madness is Mother Brain's plan to get rid of the N team is to sick her like marble on. It's just a marble that has a magnet inside of it and can like blow people away. It's very bizarre. It doesn't make
That's the character from Marble Madness, though, Josh. The black marble.
Oh my goodness! How could I have not known that? I didn't know the character of Marble Madness had a magnet inside of him.
It has. Well, that's the thing. In Marble Madness, you have to go through a course as a marble, and there's several obstacles. The most infamous, I guess, one is the black marble that tries to push you off. But there's also vacuums and magnets and oil slicks and all kinds of stuff. But they kind of make it all coming from the black marble, which was kind of weird that they kind of combined all those references into one character. Character, very, very, very loose interpretation.
I was
going to
say character, I would call it a vehicle more than a character, but you know.
Well, I love this episode because for me, the thing that stuck out was just Wombat Man himself. Like, what a goofy idea for a spoof of Batman. Like, I got to make sure I'm not going crazy. Wombat Man does not appear in anything else other than Captain N, right? Like, this isn't some other obscure reference that I'm just not getting, right?
As far as I know,
it is just a Batman reference, because like later on in the episode, there is the Wombat Man theme music, which is just a play off of the old Batman theme. So
I hope that's what we came in on, by the way, Josh, on this episode of Still Loading. I hope it's the Wombat Man.
I'll be honest, I didn't pick what the audio clip was going to be, but I guess you've kind of tied my hands now on this one. I guess I'm going to have to do Wombat, or whatever they do.
And also, I also have to tell you that my husband has a tendency of picking up any jingle that he hears and then just singing it for hours and hours. He heard that. And so you can understand that will be living in my house. I will be hearing the Wombat Man theme for like at least a couple of weeks.
And what's funny, listeners, a little behind the scenes tidbit here. We weren't sure if we were going to be able to record both episodes during the same recording session, just due to like, you know, kids' nap times and shenanigans like that. So I was like, all right, well, we'll at least get through episode 10. But Jala, if we don't get through episode 11, and I just feel bad I made you watch another episode of Captain N. Now I'd feel extra bad now, because then I forced you to watch this episode, and now your husband is just going to sing it for an entire week. Forever.
Until this episode comes out, yes.
Oh, well, this episode, I'll say off mic when it comes out, but it's going to be a little bit. So yeah. This episode, let's dive into it in earnest then, shall we? The episode begins with you see basically Kid Icarus watching an episode of Wombat Man, and he's mimicking a lot of the different movements that Wombat Man does on the TV show. And as I mentioned in the previous episode, how like one of my biggest things that I noticed was that in the Trojan Dragon episode was that the dragon looked like a dork. Well, Kid Icarus looks like a dork in this. He's got Wombat Man goggles. Hold on, I'm gonna pause it real quick where I can see, because right now the scene I just saw, Wombat Man's throwing his like grappling hook, which has a wombat face to it. But Kid Icarus is wearing Wombat Man goggles or glasses, a Wombat Man cape, that is connected to like this little patch or something like that that's in the center of his chest. Like the cape is almost like looped around his neck and attached to the patch all at once. That's really the only two bits of like Wombat Man merch that he's wearing, but it really takes up his entire outfit once he does.
He's got the utility belt too.
And yes, then, he has the utility belt.
And then his domino mask also happens to have like the little ears on it.
Yeah. I kind of loved that touch too. Like it wasn't just like a pink goggle, like a pair of pink goggles or like whatever. Yeah, I guess they're pink. Like pink goggles. They actually had the little ears to it as well, which I thought was a really nice touch. They added the Wombat Man ears. They didn't have to do that. Like that's something I could totally see Captain N cutting quarters on, but they didn't, which I thought was now it's like digging into his eyebrow. It's like 1 minute and 46 seconds in. Duke's licking his face because Simon. So he's mimicking Wombat Man and he's flying all around this room. And then he ends up falling on top of Simon as Simon's walking through a door with what I guess is tomato soup and crackers.
Or something.
It almost it could be like anything. Oysters.
And really. You know, I have to say, in that just that little bit where he's just walking with the soup and the oyster crackers that he's got, like he's just like hunched over it and like creeping along and like slavering. He's got his tongue lolling out and everything. It's just wild. I'm like, who walks around with food like that?
I do with Oreos. I heard this. I don't know if this is true or not. I heard Oreos are vegan.
Yes, they are.
They are? That's yes. Wild. I know they're not healthy for you, but that's still wild to me.
They're it's vegan. All oils that make it taste creamy. It's not actually dairy products.
Oh, interesting. I did not know that. Sorry, I was just thinking about slobbering over something. That'd be Oreos for me. I would walk around with a plate of Oreos just. That was probably the first sound effect, but take it out of context. That sound effect's going to be wild. So Kid Icarus falls on Simon, causes him to spill soup everywhere. And he's talking about his love of Wombat Man. And what happens is the Wombat Man broadcast, a TV show, gets interrupted because a giant robot starts attacking the set, which I don't think those shows are filmed live. I know every cartoon does that though. Every show where like when they like some goofy cartoon like this, or for some reason I'm thinking like something like Angry Beavers, I feel like would have a type of joke where someone's watching TV and even though it would totally be something that's pre-recorded in real life, for some reason it's a live show on within their fictitious world of the cartoon.
I don't know if that's because sitcoms for a long stretch used to be recorded live and that it wasn't a laugh track. It was actually an audience that was making the noises and stuff in the background. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of.
Were sitcoms, I didn't know actually know that. I knew sitcoms were recorded live with an audience, but I always thought that was still like pre-taped and then they would air the episode later on. But
yeah.
That,
yeah. I don't know that they were ever aired live, but just for the sake of like conveying information to the end team about the current situation that's going on, like they wouldn't have heard about it if it was just pre-recorded before. So they have to make it a live feed.
Oh, I know. I know that's how they're doing it. I just think it's silly.
It's just plot reasons. It doesn't make sense.
Now, I did notice the robot that it's fighting. What the fuck was that word? The robot that is fighting has its tongue out. The entire time.
Yeah.
Did you notice that?
I saw that too.
It's kind of uncomfortable.
What's also really uncomfortable when we get there is the fact that you later get to see Wombat Nip, but we'll get there.
I also noticed that the robot has the same funky glasses as Krang's robot body from the Ninja Turtles.
Yep. Yep.
Must have been that some kind of style like thing that people liked on their robots were these funky rectangle glasses.
Now I wonder, this robot has a giant lamp on its chest. Is that supposed to be Robot Nip? But it only has one.
He also has a door on his crotch, kind of
Yeah, I know. He does. Wait, I was does going he? To mention that. I was going to say oh he's God, got he a does. Door on his crotch.
The continuity. Yeah. The A+ continuity from the end team, dragon crotch and robot crotch. Who would have thought? A door on both. Oh my God, you're right. Why is every giant robot always like, let's just access from the crotch? I guess that might be the easiest thing in terms of logistics. I don't know. But what I love though is the robot's destroying the set and it cuts to, for some reason, someone's filming the director of the episode, who also happens to be the cinematographer because he's clearly flying a camera as well.
And German for some reason?
He's German. I wonder or if he's Austrian supposed to be like or something. Werner yeah. Herzog yeah. or something like that. Austrian, yeah. But he's an octopus or something. I don't know what he is. He's got a Dexter. I feel like this should be the thumbnail for the episode.
The director with the giant monocle, and he's got like a unibrow.
Yeah.
It's like two joined eyebrows, even though he's got one eye
and a penis mm-hmm. mouth. and actually, sorry, we referenced this before. the theme of Captain N is buttholes. All of his suction cups look like buttholes.
Yes.
We're keeping the trend going. So the director's upset that his set's getting destroyed. So the N team jumps into action and Kevin kind of leads them off. Kevin, what did you say the place was where this the Marble Madness thing is being filmed, where Wombat Man is being filmed?
Obviously it's supposed to be a spoof of like Gotham City, I imagine, or Metropolis for Superman, but they either call it Marbopolis or Marsopolis. They say it a couple times, but I wasn't able to catch it any of the
times. It's probably Marbopolis. It's probably
that would make the most sense in a show that makes no sense. Yeah.
All the buildings look like pinball bumpers, and there's lots of like swirly slides that like the ball would like tracks for the ball and things like that.
All the buildings look like mushrooms to me until at the end of the episode I looked and I was like, oh, it's supposed to be based on Marble Madness. Okay.
You're right, though. A lot of the buildings are mushrooms, like even just in this opening scene here where the robot, which I didn't even realize, like one arm is just a straight up hammer. Yes. And then the other arm, I don't know if I get to see it, but then team comes through the warp zone and there's actually it kind of reminds me a little bit of like the animation style and the explosion kind of reminds me something else, almost out of Miyazaki. I'm not comparing the two. Miyazaki's a genius and this is Captain N, but like the explosion just kind of reminded me of it for some reason, like something out of like Laputa or something like that. You see a shot of the robot coming in, looking at a window, and you see a huge fireball come out of its mouth and explode. And just the animation on the fire was
episode.
Yeah. What? Sorry,
I was saying the explosions are good in this episode,
which is odd because generally they're not. they're just fine.
I've got it paused on 2:45. That the tongue that's sticking out is, I think it's actually the bottom lip. Because the mouth is open and there's another tongue inside. And also his forehead looks like a butt.
Well, when I was trying to go to look at it, I couldn't get to 2:45 just yet. I got to 2:48 and the exploding tower looks like a giant dildo. So there's another theme that we can see. And I also noticed when he opens up his mouth to shoot, the tongue... It's almost like he has a tongue inside of his mouth and a tongue outside of his mouth.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think the tongue in the outside is like a bottom lip.
What kind of a lip is that? I feel like I should insert the VeggieTales. You know, it's a lip, it's a lip, it's a lip, 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 it's a lip, it's a lip, it's a lip, lip, lip.
Larry, what do you see here?
That looks like a lip.
What about this?
It's a lip.
And this?
It's a lip, it's a lip, it's a lip, 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 it's a lip, it's a lip, it's a lip, 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 it's a lip, it's a lip, it's a lip, 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 lip.
And then he's got like birthday candles on his head.
Yeah.
For reasons.
So the N team goes and Simon gets two giant boulders landing on his back. He would be dead.
I know. Yeah. I was watching that part and just going like, yeah, like that's he would not be just casually like, oh, this sucks.
I got a headache now, guys. This boulder hurt. That's how it's played off. But like that would have crushed him, crushed his back. The N team gets out. They do see a Wombat Man try and fail to destroy the robot. And it turns out that Wombat Man is a robot.
That threw me for a loop big time. I was like, he's a robot? And then he explodes in front of Kid Icarus. And I was like, oh, he's going to need therapy after watching that happen.
You know what? I forgot. I should have mentioned this as like one of my big things that stood out was that they make fun of Kid Icarus's speech in this episode.
Yeah.
You know, for the whole series, he keeps saying Icus all over the damn place. And Wombat Man's like, if you get rid of that Icus thing, I can make you a huge star, kid. And finally, they address one of the most obnoxious character traits of the entire show.
Yes, I was surprised that they called that out.
I was too.
Do we know who the voice is for Wombat Man? It felt really familiar to me.
I will try to look it up real quick. I'll try to look it up real fast. but they save the directors or whatever, but I'm gonna have to double check. Sorry. There's a robot Wombat Man that gets destroyed. The giant evil robot is playing with the directors in like their space capsule or whatever, and Game Boy somehow has an analytical ability to just scan a robot and find its weak point, and it sings a song. Sings a little ditty while doing it. Which is adorable. Game Boy has grown on me. I'm not going to lie, Dex, because you were so excited about his appearance in the first episode of season two, and I hated him in the first episode of season two.
I'm still in camp. I don't like Game Boy, but...
I'm not saying he's my favorite character, but it's better than I remember.
Your favorite character?
That's a
hard question, actually.
I would say... Whew, that is a very good question. I didn't mean to
totally stymie you and off track on this one, but
I would say Kevin, but I feel like that's like generic. But if I'm not going with the main character, believe it or not, I'd probably say Mega Man. I was about to say Simon because he's funny and it's fun to make fun of him. But like Mega Man, even though his voice is obnoxious, he at least has like a character arc at certain episodes of the show, and the Kid Icarus does too, but it's never one that I actually ever really enjoy. Yeah. So I never really cared all that much about it. I'm going to try to find the voice actor who played what's his face, Wombat Man, in the episode. I don't know if I can, because all the credits on IMDb, you have Long John Baldry who's famous for Robotnik, but it just lists him as additional voices. Right. So I don't really know it. Ian James Corlett, who actually at this time, I guess my episode with him will drop. He was in this episode too, but also as additional voices. So I don't know. I'll have to see what I can find.
I will say though, Josh, the actual answer for best character is Duke.
You're the dog. Yeah.
Right.
Actually, you know what? In all honesty, if I had to choose just any character, regardless if they're a repeat character or not, it'd be Wombat Man, just because I found him amusing. None of the other characters are really that endearing. Wombat Man's the only one who's even semi-endearing, but also that could be recency bias. So I don't know. I'll try to find to see who did the voice of Wombat Man. But after they destroy the robot, then. I hate this thing so much. I guess she's like the makeup assistant or like the makeup artist. She has a crush on Simon, and I'm sorry. I don't enjoy when in cartoons they try to sexualize like aliens to make them look semi-humanoid. It doesn't always work for me. And this, it just makes me, she makes me very uncomfortable.
Well, understandably. I mean, she's very, very large, large lips. And then, like, they try to truss her up to where she's got, like, it's very weird.
And the color of her, like, octopus arms changes, too. Like, there's, like, some green, like, gray patches, almost like where her elbows are supposed to be on each of her octopus tentacles. And then she's got teeth.
Yeah.
There's a 5 minutes and 19 seconds. There's a still of Simon trying to desperately jut away from her, and she's just longingly looking into his ear with her teeth jutted out. She doesn't have a chin either. She almost looks like Earthworm Jim, but an octopus.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good description.
You know, minus the racist creator. So... They decide to try to help out. They want to speak to Wombat Man and see what's going on. And this is where Kid Icarus finally meets Wombat Man. He kind of realizes he's not really a hero. He's just an actor. And I don't know what it is, why they always have to show these actors in a robe.
Because robes are luxurious, and definitely that's like a sign of wealth and being, you know, cushy. He's got a robe.
I guess so, but his stomach is so big that his chin goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see like 5 minutes and 40 seconds? His chest. I don't know exactly what it's supposed to be, but he's got a butler who's a dog.
Yeah, bulldog.
I love the design for the bulldog. He's got a really thick twirly mustache. Not thick. He's got a thin twirly mustache and like really thick eyebrows.
And what's really, really upsetting to me is that in front of all these children, Wombat Man just drops the robe. He's in his boxers. You see like his big paunchy belly and his little wombat nips. And then he just puts on his costume just right there in front of these people he doesn't know, especially these small children he doesn't know. I'm like, what in the world?
And if you and if you notice the boxers he's wearing, it looks like they have a belt. I think that's just supposed to be the elastic band, but it looks like they have a belt. And then at the edge of his boxers, there's like little Wombat Man heads peeking out on the bottom of his shorts. Mm-hmm. 5 minutes, 54 seconds.
I was just so distracted by his little human hands. Like, he's got like little human hands and feet. Like, even though they're mostly covered up when he's wearing his, you know, his costume, he's got gloves and boots, but for some reason, yeah. But, and maybe I've been desensitized by King Hippo's nips, because that didn't like. Just,
how did we describe them? Just like quarters? Like they're placed
they look
on.
Like the, they look like cartoon baby bottle like nipples. Like
the amount of time, Dexter, that you and I have spent discussing.
Well, yes, that's about Freudian right.
Slip, yeah.
All things about Captain N nipples and phallic imagery and
cream getting on Simon's face.
Oh yeah, there's a lot there. Yeah, Jala, in the first season, there's a lot of shots of Simon getting like white cream all over his face.
Mm-hmm.
It happens a lot, and they've cut it down in season two. I'm actually, you know, there's been a little bit more restraint with creaming Simon, so I'm proud of them for that, I guess. And I was going to say, Dexter, I almost feel like this shot of Wombat Man with his nips out should be the thumbnail. Oh my god! So yeah, you called it. I was going to say you nailed it, Jala, but that I don't want to use nailed it on this one. I
guess we've already gone into some very weird territory. This. Okay.
Yeah, I was even going to edit that out, but you know what? Fuck it. This is I marked this as explicit. It's fine. yes, Wombat Man undressing in front of what is ostensibly children is very uncomfortable. It's really not. I don't really enjoy that.
Well, and then too, like in his room, his whole room, everything in his room, it has the wombat head shape to it. So like his little TV and his little mirror and his little couch and all of that, like his little spritzer for his mouth. Voice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everything. It just, all of it is just wombat head shaped. It's just, and then too, the fact that there's so many reflective surfaces in this room, it's like, it kind of gives you this feeling like he definitely checks himself out in the mirror, and that's even weirder and worse. And so like it just gets worse and worse the longer you sit with the scene.
It really does. It just makes you it makes you uncomfortable every step of the way. And I think he might live up in one of those mushroom towers we talked about, because there's no like door to exit except for like an elevator in the center of the room. So I almost wonder if he just lives on one of the tops of the mushroom tower or whatever. So it cuts to Wombat Man basically just tells him, you know, like, it's show business, kid, you know, whatever. I'm not a real hero. And then you find out that the reason the end team is even there is because for some reason, Mother Brain knows that Kid Icarus is a Wombat Man fan. And by being able to sabotage the TV show, she knew without a doubt that the Ed team would see that and come to do something, to help out, to whatever. And Wombat Man, you find out the reason he's involved in all of this is because Mother Brain has kidnapped his girlfriend, who you had some thoughts about her, Jala.
I mostly was just like, again, kind of losing my mind about just the artwork of what she looks like. She looks high as F. It's high as AF, just very much just the droopy eyelids and just kind of like not concerned whatsoever with her peril. She just kind of sitting there and going, Wombie. You know, Okay. And I know she's supposed to be like the femme fatale, you know, Jessica Rabbit kind of stand in figure or something, but like she just looks very weird, very, very weird. And just the way that she's drawn just is creepy to me. Mm-hmm. So,
no,
she's really, I was just like, is she high? I was sitting here messaging Josh, like, real talk, is she high? Because she looks high.
I mean,
she
maybe
gets dangled over lava and is like, oh no.
Yeah. I took a still of that and sent that to Josh. I'm like, come on, what is this? What
maybe is the fumes got to her. I don't know. Does lava have fumes?
It would have. It would be giving off some heat. It would be giving off some fumes. You wouldn't be able to get that close to it without dying. But
that's very true. We actually talked about, Dexter and I talked about that. Did you see the Mario movie yet, Jala?
I have not. It's on my list of things to do.
Okay. It's not a spoiler for the movie, but even so, I won't say anything just in case anyone doesn't want to see it. But there's a moment in that too where I'm like, someone should have died by this lava because they were very close to it. That's all I'll say. That's not a spoiler. Mm-hmm. So the end team are given a tour of the studio lot. Yep. And this is all Mother Brain's like bizarrely backwards plan to slowly get them to kill them somehow. It's not really well broadcasted at all because her plan just makes absolutely no sense. It's just all these random things like, okay, let's try to kill them this way, instead of just being direct. It's that very classic, almost James Bond villain type of thing where it's almost circuitous the way that they try to eliminate their arch foe, which in this case is the end team. And
which it's funny. The first thing that happens when they're on their little tour around the studio is that the two dragons that were in the last episode that wreaked havoc on, you know, the Palace of Power are there. And then Kevin just zaps them and they just disappear and whatever, everything moves on. And then you also get like the rest of the Dragon's Den, like the Dragon Lord comes back and, you know, although it's probably some kind of, you know, robot or something, it's not, you know, but anyway, like he shows back up again and all of that.
So,
I think they were going for like Godzilla and King Kong, like Universal Studios kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because
they looked
for
a little
sure
off model compared to as much as that can be off model. But they looked a little
off model.
Yeah, right. It didn't look quite the same as what you saw in the last episode. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I was a little distracted in my previous explanation because when I was looking through the episode to look at what you were even talking about too, Jala, with the repeats of the previous dragons. You might have to scrub through it frame by frame on YouTube, but like at 8:54, there's an animation error where the end team just completely disappears from a shot like one frame before the actual transition, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
they're walking along in this like across like this green foresty sort of area with weird design trees, and they just completely disappear from frame before the transition. It's kind of goofy, but they're, you know, they're exploring around, they're going on a tour. Donkey Kong shows up and throws barrels at them, like you mentioned, Dex, with the whole King Kong reference. And they're basically just wondering like, why are they being attacked right now? And Wombat, it cuts back over to Wombat Man and Mother Brain, and Wombat Man tries to, you know, thwart Mother Brain here, which I got to give him credit for. You know, a lot of times they would just be like, oh, I'm defeated, I can't do anything. However, it leads to a larger issue I have with this show, where after he tries to defeat them, Mother Brain doesn't do a goddamn thing. He clearly almost like was able to escape and foil all the plans, and then he's just off doing his own thing again. Like what? I genuinely don't know why she just doesn't like dispatch of him, like, because the Wombat Man really isn't needed for the end team to go to different places at all.
No,
but they keep saying that he is, and he's really not.
They're shoehorning it in.
Shoe meat horn. And then you see another shot of his girlfriend. Do we ever find out his girlfriend's name?
Nikki.
Nikki.
Okay, she looks like almost like I don't know why, but she reminds me of like Princess Daphne from like I just blanked on the name, the video game that Don Bluth made.
Dragon's Lair.
Yeah. Okay. She kind of looks a little, she kind of either that or reminds me of like, who's that, the girl from Goof Troop or whatever, you know what I'm talking about? Like one of mm-hmm. or a Goofy movie.
Yeah.
Cause the nose, it's the nose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's funny. So Mother Brain ropes Wombat Man into helping her again because he threatens to boil Daphne or burn Daphne alive, or I keep saying Daphne, Nikki, burn Nikki alive in the lava. And you're she's so, you mentioned it before, Jala, she's so disinterested. Mm-hmm. She just does not give two shits about it. She does not seem in distress in the slightest.
Well, and not only that, but Wombat Man doesn't say, he's like, no, don't hurt her. And like, that's the delivery. That's it. Like, so disinterested also, actually.
Do you guys remember the joke that Mother Brain tells in this scene as well, where she gets upset with King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, as she is wont to do, and she throws them across the room, and Wombat Man's like, no, that's not how you do it. You want to kind of tuck your head. You want to kind of roll with your shoulder. And then Mother Brain grabs Wombat Man, and she's like, "You want to kind of shut up." And I just thought that was a great delivery, as always, from Mother Brain.
I will never be tired of Levi Stubbs as Mother Brain ever. Now it's funny. So I did find out who did the voice of Wombat Man. It is Kurt Weldon, who was one of the producers of the show. He still works in animation as well. He's been in animation for quite some time. Let me see if I can find it exactly. Yeah, so he was a production coordinator on Captain N, but he ended up doing, he was the associate producer for the Double Dragon cartoon.
Oh, wow.
Came out in 93. He also worked as the line producer for Kim Possible, for the Kim Possible movies and the TV show, for the TV show and the movies. Then if you keep on looking forward, his most recent one is he's the line producer for the most recent incarnation of the Muppet Babies, that from 2018 to 2022.
That's funny.
That's kind of wild. I also found him on LinkedIn. I almost am tempted to see if I can shoot him a message and be like, hey, would you want to come on the podcast and talk about voicing Wombat Man? This obscure character that you voiced one episode and a small bit segment in season one. But
well,
anyway.
In that one section, though, with Wombat Man and Mother Brain and everything, Mother Brain also literally says, will the real Wombat Man please stand up?
That's true. How many robots does Wombat Man have?
I forget, because he tries to use that robot decoy. And was that a common phrase before Eminem made it famous? Like, will the real so-and-so please stand up?
I'm sure it's a reference to something, but.
Well, we're going to say that Captain N did it first.
Yeah, he influenced Eminem.
That's right.
He Eminem was the real Slim Shady.
Captain N fan, yes. We all know that Eminem grew up watching Captain N and is a huge fan.
Little did we all know that Kevin was the real Slim Shady all along. So Wombat Man is trying to train Kid Icarus, and this is actually, there's a still leading up to it where, because Kid Icarus is like flipping around in a pool or whatever, and but right before that there's a still where it's like a placement shot type of thing. I forget what the actual correct term is, but to show location shot or whatever, and it's showing Wombat Man's penthouse or apartment or whatever, and there's a big like windy slide going up to the top of it, and I totally think I feel like that's the closest thing we've seen so far to being a Marble Madness reference.
Oh, I did Google it, and Wikipedia says that Will the Real Something Please Stand Up is actually an episode. Will the Real Martian Please Stand Up is episode 64 of The Twilight Zone from 1961.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's the first time it was used, but it is actually, I figured it was a reference to something. Well, yeah, there's at least a reference to Twilight Zone.
So maybe Eminem is a Twilight Zone fan.
It's kind of been in the zeitgeist for a while. Everybody's been using it.
Yeah.
Don't take this away from me, Josh. He's a Captain N fan.
Okay. Captain N started it first. We're retconning history. screw accuracy. So, Wombat Man's like training Kid Icarus in his pool. And then it cuts to the Mother Brain and Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo unveiling her newest creation, which, what does she call it? It's just a marble, but what does she call it?
The black marble is what she calls it.
Just the black marble.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, you had a lot of comments about this black marble, Jala, about how its magnetic abilities and such.
Well, it was just like, how is it? Because like she's trying to demonstrate the use of its power. And so it pulls out the magnet, you know, like the top of it unscrews and then like a magnet comes out and it sucks King Hippo up. And I'm like, how is it attracting organic matter? Please, pray tell, tell me how this is functioning. And then, you know, like using the vacuum also on Eggplant Wizard to show that happening. And it's like, okay, that's just... this nonsense, whatever. But I mean, like, that's par for the Captain N course. It's not like that's surprising or anything in the context of the episodes in general, the series in general.
No, it's definitely not. So Wombat Man tries and fails to free his girlfriend Nikki again. He fights King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, and unfortunately we get another good shot of King Hippo's nips. Had to bring it up since we've been on nips have been on the brain this episode. And he gives up, he fails one more time, and that's finally when he kind of loses all hope in being loses his drive to be a hero. And the N team is trying to defeat Mother Brain and her black marble, just such a and that somehow is shooting like grease out of, like a hose comes out of it and shoots grease, and then it causes Simon to like slip off of his whip, which sounds dirtier than I intended to be. And the end team just is not being able to actually solve anything with this. They all fail, and Kid Icarus has to convince Wombat Man that he is actually a hero, that he can save the day, and that they need that he needs his help in order to save his friends. And they do just that. The end. No. I mean, that's pretty much it. But at the same time, I do like his Kid Icarus calls him chicken, and he does a whole, he basically just keeps taunting him to the point where he's like, fine, let's go do this. I can do this. And he remembers how to do his wombat roll again. And
I like the fact that Wombat Man's vehicle is also round, because this is the Marble Madness episode. So they make his wombat mobile or whatever have like the face and the cape, but it's also just a round thing that just rolls. But for some reason, the face and the cape are always upright anyway. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But yeah, then they have to do like the wombat roll. And I love that part too, because Wombat Man is like, you know, okay, we've got a wombat roll in there before that portal closes. And then Kid Icarus is like, but you never showed me how to do it. And he's like, just follow me, because you can absolutely sync that up with, you know, just like watching somebody and simultaneously spinning.
100%. They bust in, and sorry, I'm just at the still now of the marble wombat mobile, and I kind of love it a lot. Just it's got a cape trailing off the back of it too. And sorry, this is another one. Dexter, maybe this should be the still. There's so many good ones. Wombat Man is controlling his vehicle with a hand that shoots out from the belt buckle of his belt while holding his boomerang, which kind of looks vaguely like a banana with a flower on it.
Yes.
It's wonderful. I love the visual design of that so much. I find it funny. It makes me a little uncomfortable too, with a hand just kind of coming out of his crotch basically. What's with these last two episodes and crotches? Mm-hmm. It's nips and crotches for days, man. That's all these episodes are. they Wombat roll into Mother Brain's lair. They defeat Mother Brain and King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard, and Nikki and Wombat Man are, Nikki's finally safe. They kick Mother Brain down. Actually, this was a kind of a fun thing. They, since the top half of Mother Brain is round, they kind of use that as a marble, and she spirals down the chute outside of her lair that she was kind of booked up into. And Wombat Man gets saved. Nikki gets saved. She gives, like, she cuddles Wombat Man's head. And then the Octopus Lady shows up one final time to try to get a smooch from Simon. And that's how the episode ends. This episode, we did have to cut this episode short due to some scheduling conflicts, but there's so much I feel like we could have gone into with just some of the visual design with this. So to wrap up this episode before we give final thoughts, what's one thing from each of you that you would either like to highlight again or highlight that we did not talk about? Jala, we'll start with you.
I don't know. I can't say that there's anything that we didn't already talk about on this one. So, you know, like, we covered it, and, you know, like, the end of this episode, it ends with Simon screaming and running from the tentacle lady again. So
I think it's the same Simon scream too, by the way.
Yeah.
Perfect. The repeat Simon scream that we've come to know and love throughout the show. Dexter, what about you?
Yeah, my only thing was, this was a fun one. As someone who's a fan of, like, Darkwing Duck and did, like, the old, you know, Adam West Batman stuff, it was a fun little send-up of those things. The only thing we didn't mention that I think I wanted to bring up was that Mother Brain has a very versatile lever. I think there's one lever that she keeps pulling throughout this entire episode, and it does lots of different things.
I kind of, that almost reminds me a little bit of, like, Emperor's New Groove with Yzma's lever, or the wrong lever, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, for me, I think it's just, I don't think I will not talk about my love of Wombat Man. I can't talk about my love of Wombat Man enough. It's just such a goofy, dumb joke idea that I can't help but chuckle at. Like, it, when you, like, if you're looking to create a parody of Batman, most other people would, you know, do some other, like, I don't know, flying rodent or something like that, or just some, you know, like, Eagle Man or some stupid shit like that. But they're just like, well, let's keep Batman in it, but what other animal has the word bat in it? Oh, I got it, Wombat. And
yeah, we need someone home to homebrew a Wombat Man video game so that, like, this makes sense to be in Captain N.
Who owns the copyright for Wombat Man? Would it be, I guess, Wild Brain, since they're the ones that I believe own the copyright for the show now? Or does Nintendo have a stake in it too, because it's part of Captain N?
That's a great question, but we need to figure it out. We need to get to the bottom of this
and create a Wombat Man video game. But yeah, thank you both so much for joining me again on this Captain N episode, this Captain N episode. This one, though we did have to rush a little bit at the end, was a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed talking about this one. I think this one, besides Having a Ball, this is my second favorite episode of the season. This Wombat Man episode just really, I don't know, it just tickled me, because I was not, like, what a bizarre, obscure reference to your own show to bring back, like, towards the end of season two. I found it really funny and amusing. So with all that said, thank you both for joining me. Jala, where can the good people find you online, and is there anything you'd like to shout out or promote?
Yeah, so folks can find me online anywhere I may be found, at Jalachan, including jalachan.place, where you can find my regular old show, Jalachan's Place, or thelevelpodcast.com for the video game podcast I'm a part of.
All right. Dexter, what about you?
You can find me anywhere. Mostly just Twitter and Instagram, actually. So you can look for me there. It's under my name, Dexter Morrill, DexterMorrill. I'm mostly teaching when I'm not on social media. I teach art and do my own art. So I like to post that kind of stuff. And obviously, you know, Captain N video game stuff as well. So come find me there.
All right. And as usual for me, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod on all of them. If you want to email me, you can email me at StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can do that in a number of ways. Give it a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use, like Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that good stuff, because it makes me feel warm and fuzzy. And I like feeling warm and fuzzy. And you can also support the show monetarily over at patreon.com/StillLoadingPod. For $1 a month, you get the episodes a few days early. For $4 a month, you'll get everything at the previous tier plus 2 mini bonus episodes. And for $5 a month, you'll get everything in those other 2 tiers plus access to a bonus podcast. Right now it is Still Bonding, which is a James Bond podcast where me and a few friends bond over 007, and that's been going on. By the time this episode drops, actually, that will be going on. Oh wow, we're going to be in the middle of the Roger Moore era. So if you like Roger Moore and all the campiness that ensues, check that out. But of course, the most important shout out is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of kids receiving inpatient care at hospitals. So if you want to support them, go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that is all the time I have for you this week. Thank you both for joining me, Dexter, Jala. Thank you once again.
Thank you. It's been a blast.
I love how you're like, that's all the time I have for you. Bye. Anyway, yes, thank you. It was fun.
Yeah, that's all the time we got. We're going, this is a good length for a mini-sode or for a mini-episode. So yeah, thank you all so much for listening. Thank you for following all along on our Captain N journey. We're getting close to the end. We're getting there. So please enjoy it for the rest of this year. And with all that said, we will think of you the next time we play video games.
It's over.